Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, it's Mr. Encore. Fantasy sports and politics crew. Yeah, check. Fantasy sports and politics. Ain't no other talk show hot as this. Cover every sport and we get it all right. Log on the site, you can listen tonight. Talk about the game, who in first place. You can even call up, state your own case. Football, b-ball, soccer too. Log on, ain't nobody stopping you. It's Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah, come on. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah, log on.
Log on.
Peace.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's me, it's Mr. FSP. I am your Fantasy Sports, and I got my crew with me today. I want to send out a big prayer, and we all do, to the folks in the New York, New Jersey area, all up and down the East Coast, but especially to our brother, JT ATM Money Taylor, still dealing with no electricity. Thankfully, he saw his house and some other things going on. But for the folks in those areas, Jeff's from that area, we send a big prayer and love and shout out to you guys because you're dealing with so many things. I'm sitting in for JT ATM Money. But that doesn't mean the show's going to be slow. That just means it got better. That's all. It got better. With me today, my co-host, my Ace Boone Coons. Y'all can't call him that, though. It's Jeff the Joker and Black the Boogie. What's going on, fellas?
Hi, Vic. Thank you. Hello, everyone.
What's going on, Joker? I'm glad you're here, man. I saw the devastation on the TV. Man, it's just crazy up there, and I don't believe the nerve of the New York City people to try to run the New York City Marathon with all that stuff going on up there, man.
Well, you know what, though? You know what they say? You know, the city never sleeps, and I'm not trying to make a joke, and that's why this is such a rare occurrence, because New York is probably more so than any of the other major cities in America is very much based on mass transit. A very high percentage of people who live in New York don't have cars. And that's why they don't get a lot of snow days in the school, and there's very few snow closings because of that. It's, you know, it's got a very diverse mass transit system. It's not just buses and trains. It's subways, which usually, subway, no problem. It's underground. But this, unfortunately, is very rare. It is a problem because they got all that salt water in the subways now. So, but the mentality in New York is almost always show must go on, you know? I mean, yep. I remember, you know, huge blizzards, boom. Show goes on, you know? New York's very different like that.
Well, I'm thankful you're here. I'm quite sure Black is as well, and I'm very thankful that you're okay. We've all reached out to everybody we have up there. Black has one person. And I'll even extend an olive branch because I'm such a great guy. Chris LaMonica, I hope you're doing well. Hope everything's okay. I'm doing this for Black because I'm a better man. You know, anybody up in that area. But LaMonica, Black's looking for you. So if you're able to listen to the show, which I know you do, at least I think you do, give him a call. He's worried about you. Was that sufficient, Black?
No, it's all good, man. And everybody. I got a couple of folks up there. So all of them that I've reached out to and can't hear, hopefully you guys, if you hear the show, you can try to send me a text or something. All those guys that I can't reach right now, I'm hoping for the best for you.
All right. Again, the Frankenstorm, as they're calling it, Hurricane Sandy, she devastated New York and New Jersey. So prayers go out to those folks. At any rate, on today's show, Vic 6-10 for Jerry and Jeff. Well, Jeff's here. As they deal with the aftermath of Sandy in the New Jersey area, NFL trades on the top of the list, fellas. NFL trades team meetings happening with Michael Vick. And more on tap as Vick tries to hold it down with Black, the Bookie Monster, and Jeff the Joker. We've got a lot going on tonight's NFL football. Kansas City Chiefs versus the San Diego Chargers in San Diego. And will we see more than one rush from Jamal Charles, or five rushes from Jamal Charles? I don't know. But what I'm going to do right now is tackle the topic of Michael Vick. Now, I want to hear what you guys got to say real quick. And, again, we only got 1 hour for the show, and I don't want to go over. But what do you guys think about this whole Michael Vick situation, whereas Andy Reid, you know, came out a couple weeks ago saying it crossed his mind to bench him. Vick then came out after that game and said, yeah, I'm going to be the quarterback as long as Andy has me here or wants me, and I'll support if he doesn't. I mean, and now this week, last minute saying, yeah, we're going to keep Vick as a starting quarterback. I want to hear from Jeff first, then Black, and then I'll play a soundbite from Mike Vick. Hello?
Oh, I'm sorry. I was waiting for the soundbite first. I was waiting for the soundbite first. I'll go first. Yeah, well, it's odd. You know, maybe these guys shouldn't be doing these press conferences right after the game. Maybe they need some time to compose themselves. You know, and this was a good story about, 2 years ago about Michael Vick redeeming himself. But, you know, he can't do it by himself. He needs some offensive line help. And, you know, it really looked like he resurrected his career 2 years ago, a career that at one point looked very promising. I'm not sure. I mean, it's a team sport. I mean, the defense has been lousy. They finally fired the defensive coordinator. You know, they still that's a pass happy offense. For whatever reason, they don't like giving the ball to McCoy. But it's weird to see a star NFL quarterback come across as being so unconfident. But I mean, I don't think they're going to start Foles. Is that his name, the rookie? I mean, what was he, a third round pick? Right. He's not Andrew Luck. He's not Robert Griffin. I think the only way he sees the field is if Michael Vick gets hurt. And Michael Vick has only played one full season. So if he gets banged up, then you'll see Foles. But part of Vick's problem, you know, and you know, this you could hang on him, is his turnovers. You know, he's got to be a little more careful with the football. You know, Andy Reid's got to win. And even despite the trouble, he's got a much better chance with Vick than with Foles.
Andy Reid and Michael Vick will be in the Ferrari on their way out of Philadelphia at the end of the season. You look at the Philadelphia Eagles. You look at the 32 teams in the NFL, really. Out of all the teams, Jacksonville has scored 103 points, Kansas City has scored 120, and Philadelphia has scored 120. Those are the three lowest-scoring teams in the NFL. What does Philly do? They go out and fire the defensive coordinator. The defensive coordinator has nothing to do with offense, even though he was a former offensive coordinator.
But Andy Reid said he did. Nami Asamoah said that he was part of the problem.
The defensive coordinator?
Yeah. That came out like 2 or 3 weeks ago.
So, what was the guy's name? What was the defensive coordinator's name?
Juan Castillo.
Castillo is responsible for the Eagles scoring 120 points so far this season?
No. You're, I mean, I agree with you. I'm just saying what one of the players on that defense said that there was an issue on the defense, and it should be rectified now.
And then you hear a lot of guys talking about LeSean McCoy getting touches. LeSean McCoy is getting touches. Not rushing touches, but he is getting an amount of touches. I think he's second in the league in touches from scrimmage.
Yeah.
It's not rushing touches, but everybody knows Andy Reid, 60-40 pass overrun. That formula rarely works in the NFL. You need to have a running balance, either 50-50 or 60-40 run to pass ratio. Andy Reid has never done that I personally don't see how Andy Reid has survived so long in Philadelphia. I know the run of NFC championships that they won, but after a while, things get stale. So I have Andy Reid and Michael Vick out the door at the end of the season.
Wow. Well, let's hear about Michael Vick. I had a soundbite about Michael Vick and this team meeting. I was telling Black earlier that
To have explosive players like LeSean McCoy and DeSean Jackson, and I only have the third next to last in scoring in the NFL, that's absolutely crazy.
Well, let's hear what Mike Vick has to say about this team meeting that just took place.
Had a great team meeting yesterday, in which you know, I led it off, and about, you know, 9 to 10 guys stood up and talked with veterans and leaders on this team, and you know, it was very productive for us, and you know, we keep those conversations private, but at the same time, I think we all you know, had to reevaluate our situations, look at ourselves in the mirror, and figure out what can we do better individually and collectively.
So that leads into that point, you know, that Jeff was making, that, you know, Vic, part of it's his fault for the fumbles, but it also goes with what you said, Black. The offense hasn't scored but 120 points. Third lowest scoring offense in the NFL, but has so many weapons on that team. Mike just said we need to focus on what the whole body needs to do. Do you think they're going into their bye week now, and they're playing a perfect team for their style? They're playing the New Orleans Saints. They give up points. They give up yards. It's just a matter of Michael Vick and the offense executing. Do you think after, and I'm talking to both of you, but I'm going to start with Black, after this game, and they're going to the bye week, if they lose to the Saints, no, they already had that bye week, I'm sorry. If they lose Monday night to the Saints, will Michael Vick be the starting quarterback next week? Black.
Oh, my fault. I got distracted for a second. What did you say now?
Yeah, you know what?
I'm
I sound like Jerry. Y'all just ignore
me.
I'm at work, man.
I'm at work. Priorities.
All right. Well, basically what I said was, after this week, if the Eagles lose to the Saints, will Michael Vick be the starting quarterback of the Eagles? I mean, yeah, because the offenses are same, the defense is right for Andy Reid's style of play. And if they don't execute, do you think Michael Vick gets benched after this week?
I think you got to ride the ship with Vick. I mean, Lloyd already came out and said, if you finish 8-8, you're done. I don't think Nick Foles is going to make a difference.
Jeff?
You know, it depends how Vic plays, but I really think switching to the rookie at this point is a desperation move. And also, I mean, you know, as you well know, it's a business, and they have a lot of money invested in Michael Vick. And, you know, they're stuck. They're stuck together.
Yeah. Pretty much tied to the hip.
Well, okay. I think once they let Foles in, that's, in my opinion, I think that's when you know that Andy Reid's time is done and Michael Vick's time is done. Because I believe he's at the last year of that contract he signed, or there's a clause in there where if they let him go after this year, they won't have to pay him a lot of money, something like that. But that's a signal, in my opinion. And we talked about this on the FSP show, I believe, last Saturday. Jerry and I did, that the signal, when you see a signal like that, that the team has given up, they're going in, they're playing, but they're not giving their all, meaning they're out there because they're getting paid. They're not there because they think they're going to win the game. When you put Foles in the mix, you say, well, you know what, we're not playing for a Super Bowl. We're not playing for a playoff spot. We're not playing for anything. I'm going to go out there, do what I can. I'm not going to get hurt. I'm going to get my paycheck, and I'll see you next year. Do you think the team begins to mail it in, offensively and defensively, Jeff?
You know, I don't think so, because these guys, you know, this is the pros, and they get paid, and they want numbers, and they want to look good on film, if not with the Eagles next year somewhere else. So I don't think they'll totally phone it in. I don't think so. What?
I don't think they phoned it in, but you look at how this whole situation unfolded from the beginning of the year. It's just very unfortunate for Andy Reid. He lost his son before the season started. Going into a contract year, he should have been able to take some time off and get himself together. It's just too much pressure on Andy Reid right now. And let me tell you something. Nnamdi Asomugha doesn't look like the star corner from the Raiders that everybody was hyping him to be.
You're right. Also, the Eagles haven't played a lot of man-to-man, which makes him that, I guess, star cornerback. The Eagles have played a lot of zone, and they blitz. They get a lot of zone blitzing. If they play straight-up man-to-man, I think Nnamdi would do well, but nothing on the scale that he was when he was with the Raiders. He's older. He's caught a few injuries. So I don't think you're ever going to see Nnamdi the way he was before. Dominic Rodgers-Cromartie. Have you heard anything about Dominic Rodgers-Cromartie this year? No. But you're Asante Samuel down there in Atlanta, opposite of Dante Robinson, and they had Brent Grimes before he got hurt. That was a bad threesome of corners. Now you got Robinson and Asante Samuel's down there doing their thing. So that's a perfect segue into the next topic, but I think
you gotta play to your player's strength. If you know Nnamdi Asomugha is a strong man-to-man corner, why not have him playing man-to-man? That zone and wide nine, it's a whole bunch of confusion. I can see why that defense is struggling.
Yeah, but I think that's what Nnamdi was getting to as far as saying that, you know, that the defensive coordinator was part of the problem and it should be rectified now. Todd Bowles, former Washington Redskin, former safety, you know, he wasn't a good man-to-man guy, but when Richie Pettibone had him cover, he could cover. So he knows the importance of having a strong defense, even though last week it didn't look like it. But, you know, it is what it is. But we're talking about cornerbacks, and the trade deadline was pushed off for a couple of days because of Hurricane Sandy. The biggest trade out there right now was Aquib Talib going to the Patriots.
Great pickup. Great pickup.
Here's Adam Schefter on that. It's a short soundbite.
The Tampa Bay Buccaneers are sending cornerback Aqib Talib to the New England Patriots.
Wow, I thought it was going to be more, but it wasn't. Basically, Bill Belichick does it again. He gets a top talent for bottom basement prices. I mean, and I look at it this way. If Aqib Talib does not ship up, Bill will ship him out. You know,
What was the compensation? What did they ship back in return?
It wasn't but some, like, a fourth or a fifth round pick or something like that. It wasn't nothing big. I mean, I don't have everything. Jeff, do you have any word on that?
Yeah. It's a seventh round pick and a fourth round.
Yeah, fourth round next year, right?
Oh, wait. Hold on. I'm sorry. The Patriots get a seventh with Talib, and the Patriots give up a fourth.
Okay. Yeah, so they gave up a fourth, and they got a star cornerback and another pick. I mean, you got a legitimate number one cornerback that can instantly boost your defense for a fourth-round pick. Plus, you got a pick. I mean, all it means when it messes up is Talib himself. If he can't leave his gangster wave and his gangster friends, I'm quite sure none of them will leave Tampa Bay to go chill up in Boston in that cold, miserable weather. So how do you guys think he's going to fit in? Jeff.
This might be the wake-up call he needs. You know, maybe he didn't like playing for Shiano, who, you know, is probably perceived to be a college coach. You know, Belichick is more of a pro coach. I think, you know, and it, you know, it's a good opportunity for this guy because, I mean, if he just shows up and stays out of trouble and plays ball, I don't think he's going to have a lot of hassles. I don't think he's familiar with the defense, but I guess they could have him doing a lot of man, which will make it easier. And it definitely bolsters banged up New England secondary, and they could move Devin McCourty to safety, which he's been playing there anyway. If they can make that move more permanent. I think Schiano is friendly with Belichick. I think Belichick's son played for Schiano at Rutgers. And believe me, a lot of these NFL trades, guys like to trade with their friends, you know. It's very common. So here's an example right there. So,
You know, I'm going to let you talk, Black, but I think you hit the nail right on the head. The way and because the grubbies or the baggies or whatever they were called, when they did the inside the story on NFL.com or NFL Network about when Cleveland left, when the Browns left, Cleveland came to Baltimore, how Ozzie Newsome and all these guys all were on the staff of Bill Belichick, and then now Pioli, he followed him to New England and then went to Kansas City, and the other kid is down in Atlanta. And they were talking about how easy it is to make a trade with someone you respect and someone you know versus someone that, you know, you're just dealing with on a case-by-case basis. So you're absolutely right. I know Schiano isn't the GM down in Tampa, but I'm quite sure he had a little bit to say in it because he's losing a player. But Bill Belichick is pretty much the reason why he's in the NFL. He gave what's the owners of Tampa Bay? It no begins with a B. Anyway, he gave them the blessing saying, yeah, this guy will be a good coach for you. So you're right. I think that's absolutely right. What you got to say about it, Black?
I think it's a great move by New England. A great pickup. That secondary was definitely struggling. And look, the dark side strikes again.
Well, it's funny how the dark side continues to get better. And, you know, they're going to end up with like 4 first-round draft picks next year probably and still have an awesome team to build around Tom Brady.
But I know one thing. He's going to a very mangled and muddled division right now. He's looking to New England.
Oh,
New England's 5-3. Miami's 4-3. Buffalo 3-4. They're still in it. And the Jets are at 3-5.
But he's going to a team that's in contention. That's the main thing. Tampa, I said at the beginning of the year that I feel that the NFC South is going to end up like this. Atlanta, then Tampa, or Carolina, and New Orleans being the last place. So far,
well, that's how it's going right now. Atlanta 7-0, Tampa 3-4, New Orleans 2-5, Carolina 1-6.
And you know, y'all laughed at me when I said that. Y'all like, are you sick? Are you on crack? You weren't on the show, Jeff. I don't think you were anyway. But y'all was saying, you smoking. What's wrong with you? I'm telling you, I saw the trend. But Tlaib goes to a better place. But hey, let's talk about a guy that didn't go anywhere, but his girlfriend, talking about the football team, decided to flirt with another guy, but then said, oh, no, we were just, you know, checking him out, but we really love you. Talking about Alex Smith. Let's hear Alex Smith on Jim Harbaugh.
Thankfully, Coach Harbaugh came in and gave me that opportunity, because that's really what it came down to. You know, it would have been easy. My contract was up. For him to just say we're moving on and you know, gave me an opportunity to come in and compete for the job and you know, that's all he could really ask for.
Let's talk about it, boys. It's Alex Smith because he's on a 1-year contract. Is he the answer in San Francisco? If not, does he take less money to stay there as a possible backup or mentor to Barkley or whoever, or
Kaepernick? Kaepernick.
Yeah, because Kaepernick's in there. Or does he take his chances and go somewhere like Kansas City, who definitely is going to get rid of Matt Castle, or to Jacksonville? Where, I mean, want to hear what you guys think about Smith and where he's going to go. Let's start with you, Black.
Those situations are not good either for Alex Smith. Going to Jacksonville or going to the other team you mentioned, those won't be good situations for Alex Smith. I personally like Kaepernick. I like to see him out there, but, I mean, you look at the 49ers right there. They're 6-2. I mean, they're not doing too bad with Smith in there. He might have some games where he struggles, but as long as he manages the offense and keeps them winning, you got to leave Smith out there.
Jeff?
You know, Black hit it on the head. I mean, he manages. I mean, you know, with the rest of that team, with that offensive line, that running game, especially that defense, plus good special teams, Smith doesn't have to make a lot of plays. He just got to play smart. And I give him credit for hanging in because, you know, he was labeled the bust, and he stuck around. And I don't think he's proven himself to be great, but he's proven himself to be competent. I think at this point, if they would demote him, I think he might move on to greener pastures. I can't blame him because he could probably get a starting job somewhere else in the NFL. I mean, he's not going to be the savior anywhere, but he could step in and start somewhere and contribute. But I think, you know, they made a mistake making him the number one pick, a good player, but he had a lot of success in college out of the shotgun and the spread offense, which they don't run in the NFL for the most part. And when he first came into the league, he stunk under center, which is a problem for an NFL quarterback. And it didn't help that every year he had a different offensive coordinator, and that's not how you develop a young quarterback. So I think finally now he's playing in the same offense 2 years in a row. And like I said, I give him a little credit for sticking it out.
So my question then, Jeff, is if he does move on to greener pastures, what offensive team can go to that would, you know, have that strong running game and protect him and let him manage the offense?
If Kansas City get it together, they used to have a good running game. I'm not sure. But all you need is one team to be interested in, and you know there's 31 other teams besides San Francisco, and there might be a suitor. So
There's two teams in that division that he plays in that could use his services: Arizona and Seattle.
Well, Seattle just paid Flynn. I don't think they're going to let him Pete Carroll pay Flynn, Wilson.
You got to rip that Flynn contract up. You got to, if you're not going to play, you got to rip that contract up and get Flynn out of there.
They made
a mistake paying him. I mean, they thought they saw something that they didn't. Just like the Joker said, they thought Alex Smith was the number one pick. He really wasn't the number one pick.
Correct. Let's talk about then a guy that, in a way, he was a number one pick. He was actually traded to be the number one pick for Eli Manning. So technically, Phillip Rivers was a number one overall pick in that draft. Let's hear from Steve Young on Phillip Rivers.
Phillip, in my mind, is the leader of this football team. No one has a question of that. He has a very cool, too cool for school attitude, which comes off for a quarterback. That's fine. But the truth is, we need him to have his hair on fire. He needs to start screaming at people. He needs to look like, you know, over my dead body, we don't win this week. I think that's got to be the, from Phillip Rivers all the way down to this whole team needs to take that attitude, or this season's going to go away.
Agree or disagree with that analysis of Phillip Rivers since they're about to kick off against Kansas City right now? Black.
It's not all on Phillip Rivers. I mean, Norvell Turner, as much as I love him, he's not that good of a coach. He's just not good of a coach. He's a great offensive coordinator. That team has gotten older. You look at the window that they had when Gates was young, and they had Adenia Thomas in there, and Rivers was the quarterback at that time, along with Vincent Jackson. That was their window to win. They haven't rebuilt since LaDainian Thompson left. You look at Gates. Gates is nearly hurt every other week. And Matthews, he's doing a good job of running, but, I mean, you need more help. You need more help. And they haven't done a good job of trying to rebuild that thing up for Phillip Rivers. So it's not all on Phillip Rivers.
Go ahead, Jeff.
You know, I think Phillip Rivers, it's funny what Steve Young said. He already plays like his hair is on fire. He definitely is a very fiery player. He's a guy who I always thought was very good. I've always been impressed with him. I think 2 years ago he had a very good season. Gates was banged up, and it was one of those seasons. Who was he throwing to? He's throwing to different guys every week and still putting up numbers and still winning games. He had a bit of an off year last year, and this looked like a good bounce-back year for him. Gates started out healthy, and they brought in Robert Meacham, but it hasn't looked like that. But I don't know, but I think Norv Turner, excellent offensive coordinator, maybe not quite a head coach. I like Rivers, and I can't figure it out. I really thought he would bounce back in a big way this year.
So who goes first, Spanos or Turner? Who goes first, the GM or the head coach, or both? Either one of you.
That's hard to say right now. It looks like there's a lot of loyalty being shown to North Turner. So if I had to say anybody, I would say Spanos.
Go ahead, Jeff.
You know, when's the last time an in-season head coaching or GM change made a difference? Because in the NFL, pretty much, 99% of your roster you got in training camp. And if they fired a GM first, usually the GM wants to bring his own guy as head coach. So they kind of go hand in hand. In-season head coaching changes, I don't think usually do much in the NFL.
Okay. Norv brought me, I'm going to run down the list, two cool and limp hand Michael Westbrook, who then beat up his running back, Mr. Davis, who was a good running back. He also got me Keith Shuler. He also got me a bunch of losses. I think Norv needs to go. I like him. Here's what I see happening. Honestly, I see this happening. And Black, you might not like me for it, or you might like me for it. If Norval Turner gets fired from San Diego, he will come into Dallas, be the offensive coordinator.
Oh, my goodness.
But Jason Garrett.
No.
And then
Jason Garrett will lose his job the next year. No.
And Norv Turner becomes the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys.
No. Put the Angel Dust or the Loud Pack or whatever it is you have going in the air right now, put that stuff away. Far, far away. There's no way that scenario takes place. Not in this lifetime. None of us being on this earth.
Why? You don't think Jerry wants his boy back down there?
No, Jerry doesn't. No. If Jerry wanted anybody, Jerry would be on the phone making the back deal, and he would be apologizing to Sean Payton for letting them get away and trying to backdoor New Orleans and bring Sean Payton back to the promised land, which is the Dallas Cowboys.
Okay, I mean, that's what you say, but I think it's going to happen. I think if Norval Turner is fired, he comes back home, wears that ugly blue star, and becomes, at some point, the head coach of Dallas Cowboys. But let's move on, since we're talking about offense. There's an offense happening in Pittsburgh without a real running game. However, Jonathan Dwyer, people keep comparing him to Jerome Bettis because he's big and he has quick feet, has stepped in and made the Pittsburgh run game relevant. I guess Mendenhall couldn't do that.
Mendenhall's defense, Mendenhall got hurt, but continue.
Man, on his first carry, Ray Lewis separated his shoulder, or ripped his pec or whatever. So I think he actually lost his job to the wide. Or they're going to make him compete for it next year. But here's Antonio Brown on how the offense is developing under the new offensive coordinator, Todd Haley.
In the scheme of things, we'll be getting better, and we're looking forward to stacking wins. We developing our team identity, and we know if we want to be a good team and start on the road, and we got to put together some back-to-back wins and start to develop our identity for the playoffs.
So tell me, fellas, tell me a little bit about, this opportunity the Steelers have. They're banged up. They're old, but they're winning. They're going against the Giants this week. Tell me what's going on with them.
I'll tell you what you said. The defense has some age, and it's starting to show. Palomalu seems like he's always banged up now. And I think there's a changing of the guard because for a long time, Steelers defense and the Ravens defense have been two of the best, and age and injury have taken a toll on those two defenses. And when it comes to fantasy football, people sometimes, they base too much on the past, and I think both of those units, their best days are behind them. Dwyer, he looked great coming out of college. Where was he from, Georgia? He had a good training camp a couple of years ago. He kind of moved down the depth chart. But, it's not just the defense that's injured there. They got trouble keeping the running backs healthy. The Giant game looks interesting on Sunday because sometimes the Giants, the teams that they should beat, they'll make it interesting. And, Pittsburgh still has some talent. And Giants secondary is nothing special. I mean, they can get heat on the passer, but the secondary is nothing great. So the Pittsburgh receivers might have big days, hopefully not. And Heath Miller's having a pretty good year. I think now he's in the top five for tight ends. And this is another fantasy football issue that, Heath Miller is probably the best dual-purpose tight end in the league because, he could catch the ball and he could block. But nobody cares because you don't get fantasy points for throwing blocks. And it's hurt his numbers that, he's had to help out that offensive line a lot. But, he's been a big part of that passing game. And Mike Wallace, like a lot of guys after a holdout, isn't having a great year. But Brown is looking good. Shuler's having And Shuler's having, Miller. Miller's having a nice year, so good for him.
Yeah. Go ahead. By the way, Antonio Gates just scored a touchdown for the Chargers. But go ahead, Black.
Yeah, that game on Sunday looks interesting. Right now it's 3.5 favorites to the Giants. I don't know. Pittsburgh, they're old, they're ragged, but they find ways to win. I respect a team like Pittsburgh. You saw what they did to Washington last week. Heath Miller's having a good season. Antonio Brown, the special teams can get it together. Antonio Brown had so many fantasy points just tossed into the garbage because of the special teams. They got to get that together up there. If they can get that together, Pittsburgh will be all right. The receivers, definitely top flight. The running game, I don't know why these guys keep getting hurt, but Dwyer's looking like an excellent filler.
Yeah, I agree. I think the offense is very good, especially being in its first year of operation for the Steelers. I think Jonathan Dwyer is he's a factor because he's not going down off of the first hit. He's making that offensive line, which is a patchwork offensive line, look good. They moved the starting right tackle to left guard. So you have the two best players on the offensive line on the left side. But he's getting a lot of cutback runs. Most of his yards against the Redskins came on the left side. But we'll see what happens with Pittsburgh. The North is weaker than we thought it would be. Cincinnati's doing a good job. The Ravens. Oh, no, the Ravens. I don't think Flacco and Ray Ray can pull those guys, you know, out of what they're in. But I think that when you look at Pittsburgh.
What is Baltimore in? They're sitting at 5-2 right now.
They're going to be in a free fall. If you thought, and I said it on last Saturday's show, that Houston was going to murder them. I don't know if it was last week or week before last, whatever. Week before last, I said Houston was going to murder them. And Jerry's like, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? I'm like, no. I guarantee you by third quarter, Arian Foster wouldn't have to play. And I was right. By the third quarter, Arian Foster didn't have to play. He did, but he didn't have to. I'm telling you, if Baltimore plays a team that can move the ball and they come up and play the Redskins next week, if I'm not mistaken, they're in trouble because their defense isn't what it used to be, just like the Steelers, and their offense is good at best. It's not explosive. It's good at best. So, you know, Pittsburgh has a shot at, you know, grabbing that division and winning it. I'm not going to sleep on Cincinnati. I mean, I might even change my order. I'll put, right now, I'm doing it on the FSP Crew show, I'm going to say Pittsburgh wins the division, Cincinnati comes in second, Baltimore in third, Cincinnati fourth. I mean, not Cincinnati, Cleveland fourth.
Wow.
But Cleveland's got an excuse. They're brand new, they're young, and they're going to get better as it comes. But I'm telling you, Baltimore is going to hit a slide, and Cincinnati's going to pass them, and Pittsburgh's going to win that division. Pittsburgh, Cincinnati, Baltimore. You will
that's
not
pretty
see Baltimore
ball, that's a pretty ballsy prediction there, Mr. Gardner. Pretty ballsy.
You will not see Baltimore in the playoffs. I'm just telling you. All right. I want to do fantasy football, but I'll save it for last. I want to talk about this big trade that took place in the NBA where you saw one player go to one team, but that team got like two potential all-stars and a couple picks. I'm talking about the James Harden trade. James Harden leaves Oklahoma City and goes to Houston for Kevin Martin, Jeremy Lamb, and a couple of draft picks, if I'm not mistaken. And all Houston got back in return was
Fear the Beard.
Say again?
Fear the Beard.
Fear the Beard. Okay. Well, that's what they got back. A beard you can fear. That's it. So let's hear from Mr. Harden on his response to the trade. Let me hit it real quick, and I'm sorry. I thought I had it queued up.
I was in shock. You know, it's basically, you know, I felt depressed and sad, you know, that a family and the brothers that we built for the past 3 years had broken up. But, you know, at the end of the day, it is a business.
Now, on draft day, we were reporting that the Wizards had a deal in place, or Oklahoma was ready to deal Harden to the Wizards. It fell apart. And this is all about money. Like you said, this is a business. So they can work out a contract for the guy. They trade him. They get some dynamic players for him. And, you know, They don't leave empty-handed. They don't leave empty-handed. What do you guys think about that?
Well, he looked awfully good last night. 37 points, I believe it was 12 assists, about 6 boards and about 4 steals. I think it's an excellent pickup for Houston. It puts a face on that franchise. I know that Jeremy Lin is there, but you definitely want a guy who can score, who can put people in the seat, and it was definitely a great pickup for Houston. Oklahoma City, they just couldn't pay 3 scores. I don't see how you break the bank on Harden, Westbrook, and Durant. So I understand it from their point of view. They did pick up a couple of pieces in that trade. But, I mean, it's a great move for Harden. Harden signs immediately, gets a 4 or 5 year contract extension, $80 million. I think it works out for both parties.
Okay. Jeff?
Yeah.
I mean, obviously Oklahoma had to make a business decision. I'm sure they didn't want to, but, you know, it's a business, as everyone knows. And I'm just curious. I mean, you know, Harding obviously looks, when I've seen him play, look terrific. But it's going to be slightly different in Houston. I mean, in Houston, he's going to be the guy. He's not going to be coming off the bench. He's not going to have those other two to take the pressure off him. But, hey, he's probably up for it. But, it's a different situation. But I don't think there's any legitimate reason to think he won't succeed. And who knows? Maybe the trade could work out well for both teams. But I'll tell you, they know how to draft. They know how to put a team together in Oklahoma. And hopefully this deal will kind of keep it going for them, you know.
I don't think there's any added pressure on Harden. I mean, you look back, he was the number three pick in the draft, so he'll be ready to step up in the spotlight.
Well, when you have Jeremy Lin, who's got an opportunity to, I'm not going to say star, but hone his abilities, and Harden to just kick the ball to, it's not like you got a lot of pressure, because Harden doesn't have to be the point guard. He doesn't have to be the point guard. All he has to do is just freaking distribute. I mean, score and play defense. I think Harden is in a good position. Now, will the Rockets become a challenger or a contender? I don't think so. I mean, Lakers are 0-2. I know it's beginning of the year. But for all their talent, they can't seem to get it to gel. You know? So we'll see what happens. Oklahoma City, Houston Rockets, make a trade, good deal. Those are the sound bites I have for today. We got. Go ahead.
I think Lakers are tanking to bring back Phil Jackson.
So you think that Mr. Brown is on his way out the door by midseason?
There's only so many times where you can push the glasses up on your face on that sideline and figure out, you know, you're in a bad position and you don't know what you're doing.
Well, Kobe likes the offense, Jeff. I mean, what is Black talking about? Kobe likes the offense.
It's hard to imagine, but, sooner or later, I mean, he's probably got a couple years left, but Father Time is going to catch up with Kobe. And
It's caught up now. It's caught up now,
right.
And it's also caught up with Steve Nash.
Yeah, and unfortunately, with the Knicks right off the bat, I mean, everybody knows Amari Stoudemire has horrible knees, and already he's going to miss 2 months, which, then, of course, people are saying it's a mixed blessing because he doesn't play great when he and Melo are on the court together. Even so, you don't want to lose one of your best players. Guys, I mean, Kobe is top-notch athlete, not just physically, but his personality. I mean, he's a guy, he wants to win everything, even if he's playing his grandmother in gin rummy. And that's the kind of guy, that's the kind of guy you want leading your team. He's all about winning. It's hard to imagine, but, The battle with Father Time is one that no one ever wins. You could win for a while, but eventually Father Time always wins. I'm just curious. I can't imagine Kobe finishing his career as a sixth man or coming off the bench.
Oh,
I wonder if – it's just hard to imagine. I wonder if he'll go to Europe for a year or two just because of his background. He spent his childhood in Italy because his father was playing pro ball there. I tell you, these European leagues are no joke, obviously.
Ask Gilbert Arenas. He can't even get his contract done.
Yeah, so maybe, he could still be good enough to start Europe. And I think he's had some interest in going to Europe, but, of course, I think he's very well aware of his historical legacy. Maybe he'd go there for a year or two. I think it would be very interesting. And I'm sure if he did, it'd probably be some kind of mega deal. He'd probably get a piece of the team or piece of the action or something. I mean, he's pretty sharp. Believe me, if he's not good enough starting in the NBA, he won't be scoring 50 points a night in Europe. But you know, he speaks Italian and everything. I don't know. I always thought that was, you know, his background was interesting like that.
Well, let me tell you, from speaking to him, because I actually met Kobe when I got a chance to work the USA basketball when they were here in D.C. The guy is a hell of a competitor. And I'm not taking anything away from the Lakers are off to a slow start, but you signed Nash a couple of years too late. I think Mike Brown has to be moved. You got to get a coach in there that can work with what's left with these guys. Dwight Howard had an excellent game. I think he scored 34, 35 points the other night. But it just wasn't enough, and the Lakers' bench is just not that deep.
You're right. They're not. I don't think they're going to be – like, I mean, this is the same point I brought up a couple weeks ago before the season when I said, okay, what do you have on the bench after your starting five in L.A.? You got your man from Maryland. He's been in the league for a minute. At point guard.
Talking about Steve Blake. Anton Jameson. I mean, come on.
And that's what I'm saying. You don't have much there, if anything there, afterwards. So it's like, okay, it only takes one or two of those guys to get hurt. One or two, and it's over. You know? So that's what it is.
Not to take anything away again from Kobe, but during those practices, Kobe didn't have to do too much. You look at the young guys, Durant, LeBron.
Of course, dude.
Kevin Love. Yeah, all those guys are putting in work. Kobe didn't have to do too much. So no one saw this coming, actually.
I mean, shoot, I'm Kobe Bryant. Like, what did he say? When somebody asked him about Alex Rodriguez, the soundbite was, well, I just told him, you know, you got to remember that you're the best. I mean, I do. I'm the best, so, you know. I mean, he's very cocky and confident, but he has the ability. And the
great interview.
Think so.
Also a great interview.
Yeah. Did we get one with him?
Yeah, but I had some other reporters in the background, so we couldn't really use it.
Okay. All right, we're going to get you on that. I'm going to get you going, bro. Trust me. All right, we got 8 minutes left of live air, ladies and gentlemen. And right now I want to talk about something that's near and dear to my heart. Called fantasy football. Joker, what is going on with the Jokers in the Parlay Palace? What is going on?
Yeah, I don't know what to tell you. I mean, I think I impressed last year, but that was last year. And it's one of those things, you know, you think you know what you're doing, and you do certain things. You got a way of doing things, and even if it works most of the time, it doesn't work all of the time. I mean, I can make a lot of excuses, which I probably will a little further down the road. you know, and also, I'll be honest, I'm not going to be totally forthcoming because I'm in the league with you guys, and you know, I'm like Belichick when it comes to that, you know.
Don't be videotaping my practices, dude.
Yeah, and, you know, last year, you know, what was I? Start out 11-2, I think, not too shabby. But, you know, not to take anything away from that, I wasn't blowing people out, you know. But, you know, I think I was managing the team fairly well. And I'll take it as a compliment. Jerry called me the silent assassin because for whatever reason, and I know it's part of the culture of fantasy football, I'm not into the trash talk, even if I'm winning. It's just, it's not me. Because no matter how good your team is, you're just, it's a fine line between winning and losing. But the thing is, I win a couple weeks, I'm back in the mix, you know.
Definitely. It's a very, very rough division.
It just...
Yeah, man.
I'm having trouble in another league also. And I've never had to play this role, and I think it's inevitable if you're in enough leagues and you play enough years. I don't want to be two or more weeks before the season's over and forced to play the spoiler, because I've never had to do that. If I have to, I will, and I think out of sportsmanship, because it affects other people, I'm going to keep – even if I'm eliminated, I'm going to keep putting in a lineup every week and doing my best Right, and that's the way you should be. But some cats, once they're eliminated, they go AWOL, and that's not cool. You know, it doesn't take a lot of effort to be a good sport because it affects other people, and you shouldn't take a dive like that. But I've seen it, unfortunately. It's not right. And if I got to play that role, I got to play that role. But, you know, I win a couple. I'm back in the mix, so keep swinging.
All right. Well, this week I'm going to have to give the beat down because I'm going to whoop them Gundam style to the Gundam style McMillans, Jimmy McMillans. Right now I'm sitting at top of first in our division. And the goal, gentlemen, here's the goal. Keep Ricky in last place. Just put him in last place. And that's it. I love Ricky. I really do. But he's been very disrespectful. Very disrespectful. I mean, people have died for less things that he said. Yeah, but I love him. I know he's on that DC stuff. I got to get him out of his element. You know, I got to get him out. You got to go travel the world, Black. You and him got to make a trip somewhere for me. But keep him in last place. Now, I'm going to beat you this week, so don't take – what did they say in Sugar Hill? Don't take this as
I don't think that our three-game winning streak that we're riding on will be broken by you this week. So talk as you must.
Yeah, we're broken on a three-game winning streak.
Talk as you must, but one of these streaks are going down, and it doesn't look good for the Mr. FSP to you. Throw the projections out the window. This is a division game.
Really? Because they said I'm supposed to beat you by, like, what, 30 points or something?
You got to throw that out the window, bro. It's a division game. Anything can happen.
I don't believe how y'all left J.J. Watt on a daggone waiver wire for me to pick him up. That's crazy. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, I hope the vision is, if I'm not mistaken, is Black, Jeff, me, Ricky, and Jerry, correct? Am I missing anybody?
I think you're missing Team Young, I believe.
Okay, Team Young. So we're going to talk trash about each other regardless. I don't think you guys have been doing it on the show, but I'm going to talk trash to you and about you until I leave because I love fantasy football. We got 3 minutes left live. So any parting shots before I promote all the shows, guys?
I want to give a big shout out to Ava Knight. I guess from last week, she was just named the women's boxer of the month of November. So Ava Knight, Ben Batista, big love out to y'all. And also, don't forget the home favorite, Seth Mitchell. He'll be on HBO November 17th, fighting for the Pride of D.C., Seth Mitchell.
All right. You're going to learn today. That's how we do. Yeah, I want to thank Ms. Knight as well for coming on. She was rather nice and understanding, so I appreciate her. And Mr. Bautista, keep bringing out some good ones and keep bringing them on the show. Jeff, what you got?
Like to send my, I know it's already mentioned, send my well wishes to everybody dealing with the aftermath of the hurricane and believe me, fantasy football looks trivial, but I had a backup plan, you know, what I would do with my teams in case of emergency, and I had to access the internet at the library. That was plan A. If that didn't work, I was going to call up a buddy, plan B, to have them update my rosters. But
you can always call me. I reached my hand out to Jerry as well. Jerry, you need your rosters updated. Just call me, man. I have no problem.
Right. I mean, I think a lot of leagues you can reach out to the commissioner, buddy. It's a drag for a lot of people to deal with. But hopefully, a lot of people dealing with this nonsense should enjoy the games on Sunday and hopefully salvage their fantasy team. So it's been a pleasure. And catch you next time, guys.
All right. I want to say the same thing, fellas. It's always a pleasure hooking up with you guys, like old days when everybody was on Saturday. I guess y'all don't like me no more on Saturday. It's okay. It's all right. It's okay. But for all those out there, fantasy sports-wise, like Jeff said, it's trivial in comparison to the devastation that's going on around the country and the hurricanes, the tornadoes, and earthquakes, things of that nature. So we want to wish everybody the best. And fantasy football, baby, you got to love it. Football, you got to love it. 4, 3, 2, 1. Tomorrow, since Jerry cannot host the show, I'm going to get Mac to talk about politics before the election. I want to see how he's going to go off because I'm going to go off right back at him. And I want to know what he thinks about, you know, Governor Bloomberg, you know, saying what he said and endorsing President Obama and saying that global warming is real and things are going on. I want to talk about some other things. Mac might want to talk about some other stuff, but I'm going to try to goad him into it. Don't you tell him, Black. Don't you tell him.
No, I was just going to tell you, good luck. So I don't think it's going to take the bait. But good luck trying.
He's going to have to. Watch what I do. Watch what I do. But on Saturday, I am not here. I have to work. And ladies and gentlemen, believe it or not, we might have to do a replay of one of the shows on Saturday. Because Jerry will be without power. And I don't know what your schedule's like, Joker, but, you know, I know you are dealing with some stuff as well up there in Jersey. And Black, of course, he's always working, never had nothing, no laptop or nothing. I got to get him something. But it might be a replay. I might take a show we did in the summer and play it this Saturday. And possibly again for the master plan because I have to work all weekend. But we'll see what happens. Every Thursday, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, just before kickoff of NFL Thursday Night Football, you have the FSP Crew Show. Jeff, Jerry, and Black holding it down, doing what they do, making you laugh, making you smile, and informing you. On Fridays, you have the No Chaser with Mac Williams and Jerry Taylor. You never know what Mac's going to talk about. He's going to spew some venom about you, so get ready. It's his show. And he's going to love Detroit. He loves him some Detroit. Then on Saturdays, you got FSP, Fantasy Sports Politics. That would be me hosting the show with JT ATM Money, and we give you the week's information in sports. On Sunday, you've got the Master Plan with JT again, and he just keeps giving you winners. Why? Because all he does is win, no matter what, unless he's playing me. And then that happens at 10 a.m. On Tuesdays at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, you have Kim Fun with Compassion to Kim. Different type of show. Totally opposite of what we do. It's more geared toward women and spirituality as well as the youth of today. Did I miss any shows, fellas?
Yeah, you missed the show if you're getting whooped on Sunday. The Gangnam Style show.
I got you, Slim. I got you. But for my co-host, Jeff, the Why So Serious Joker, and Black, a.k.a. the Bookie, a.k.a. the Bookie Monster, a.k.a. I'm better than the Root, right, I'm Vic Gardner. And you know what? You've been listening to...
Yeah, it's Mr. Encore. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew, yeah, check. Fantasy Sports and Politics, ain't no other talk show hot as this. Cover every sport and we get it all right. Log on the site, you can listen tonight. Talk about the game, who in first place. You can even call up, state your own case. Football, b-ball, soccer too. Log on, ain't nobody stopping you. It's Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah, yeah. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah, log on.